back. This is Deanna, and I invite you to visit our very friendly chat room at spingola.chatango.com. Our guest today is Dave Ghari, and he is talking about the assault on the USS Liberty and the websites that you will want to visit are erasingtheliberty.com and usslibertymovie.com. And that attack was on June 8th, 1967, 52 years ago today. And we're talking about production. And that offshore production has been going on for such a long time. It occurred incrementally via several presidencies. The Bushes worked with Clinton, so when NAFTA came in, you had the decreasing production in this country, and you're not going to get all that back just by saying we're going to do this and that. It's pretty well established that we have become a nation that doesn't produce anything or much of anything as compared to what has been produced in this country previously. And the wealth of any country is based on their production of things, not on how many people they let into the country who live off the system and gain welfare and are not producers but takers of social welfare programs. This whole thing is anybody that can't understand simple math needs some, I don't know what they need, a brain transfusion or something.
You know what, in many ways, if you take a look around at our fellow citizens, you'll see a population, many of them, of degenerated, tattooed, obese, phone-loving citizens who,
right.
You can't judge a book by its cover. You can't, obviously. But you could get pretty close to it when you see some of the things that we see. And there really can't be, you know, a productive member of society hiding behind, you know, what they look like now. It's disheartening.
It is. It really is. We do have some callers. Did you want to finish up any thoughts that you had before we take a call or two?
No, I'm good. You know, it's been a great. I hope I'm not rambling too much, and
everything you say is very productive and very astute. No, you're not rambling at all.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm good. I mean, I always love to take callers, you know, because that is really, I mean, the way that I feel, that's who the show is for, really.
All right, let's take Greg in Arkansas. Greg, welcome to the program.
Hi, Diane. Hi, Deanna and Dave. And as always, thank you. I certainly appreciate your unceasing devotion to grabbing onto these third rail issues, so to speak. And it's almost as if you're suicidal over this stuff. But anyway, Dave, correct me if I'm mistaken. You threw a bombshell in there. I follow this Liberty Massacre as often as you guys are on and pick up what I can. I don't say I have a complete understanding. And Dave, maybe you can clarify something. I don't expect that you would know every single thing because things are still developing. However, you mentioned, and let me preface it by stating, granted that the hierarchy of Israel are Bolsheviks and vice versa, I'm sure they've got a big hand inside the Soviet Union or Russia or whatever you want to call it these days, but you had mentioned that it was the Soviets that threatened to shoot down the planes if they weren't brought back. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. absolutely. And yeah, of course, you know, even, you know, my research is not complete, you know, and one of the reasons is that the United States, and rightfully so, wants to protect what are termed sources and methods. So remember, this was an intelligence ship, so run by the National Security Agency. There were sailors on board, there were Marines, and there were also civilians. And this isn't something that, you know, the United States wants people to know about. And they probably never will reveal all of the information about the Liberty, because they don't want the bad guys to know about the sources that they use and the methods. And, you know, the sources, they might have what's called, you know, human intel on the ground right now, who wasn't there in 67, but they obviously were, they inherited their position from somebody who was. So, you know, that's understandable. But as I said earlier, in regards to the hotline, Greg, is that this is information that it was not known to pretty much anyone except for the people who are involved in the that office in the National Military Command Center in the Pentagon, which housed the hotline, the MOLINK, the Moscow-Washington hotline, was that the first use of the hotline was the Soviet Union contacting Washington, D.C. to threaten D.C. that if they didn't recall the jets that were launched to go to the aid of the Liberty, that they would shoot them down. The Soviet Union had many vessels in the area. As a matter of fact, they regularly taunted the U.S. and the U.K. navies at the time. And this was common knowledge to people in that area at the time. So that was, in fact, why Johnson called the planes back, because he didn't want to get the United States possibly involved in something that would have been catastrophic. And the reason that it would have been catastrophic is that because the Soviet Union was intimately involved in that part of the world with their relationship with their client state, Egypt primarily, and it's still like that. And that's why this story is really in many ways fascinating. Because what happened then, 52 years ago, in that area of the world, with the Golan Heights and the Gaza Strip and the Sinai Peninsula and the West Bank of the Jordan River, the illegal land grab that took place, that's still reverberating to this day. But the Soviet Union knew about Israel's plans, because, as we talked about before, and as you just mentioned, the Bolsheviks, there are a lot of Jews who came from the Soviet Union, and they were actually spying for the Soviet Union as well. So they knew that Israel was planning on taking these parts of that region, although it wasn't their land and it still isn't their land, although somebody has to tap President Trump on the shoulder and explain that to him. But the Soviet Union was preparing for a military action against Israel. They had gotten landing rights from Tito in Yugoslavia to send a bunch of their paratroops to drop them in between Damascus and Israel, because they knew Israel was on the move, and they were unsure if Israel was going to continue toward Damascus. So it was a very dangerous World War III-ish type scenario that could have developed. And I think Johnson, in light of the context of all of the American loss of life in that horrible Vietnam War, looked at this as, hey, you got a couple of dead sailors. And at the time, you know, the reports came in that there were literally a couple of dead sailors. They didn't count them up. Even the garbage media here printed that 10 dead and like 50 wounded, even though it was 34 murdered and probably 200 wounded, because there are many people I interviewed who have wounds, but they felt that it would be a disgrace to put in for benefits because of what they saw the other guys suffer through and their fathers being in World War II. So that number of 171 or 174 is inaccurate. So it was because of the context of what was happening in that region, the geopolitics of what was happening, that Johnson made the decision to just get the planes back and no, we're not going to the aid of the Liberty. We know what happened, and you know, that's that. Of course, the other question is, and this is what a lot of the Liberty survivors rely on, and other people for their postulating that Washington was involved in the massacre, is that Johnson said, "Get those planes back. I'm not going to embarrass an ally over a few dead sailors." Well, the question is, how did Johnson know that Israel had attacked when the Liberty didn't know? Because every person who I interviewed and every person who I didn't interview who I've heard talk about it, not one of them said that the jets had any markings. They were unmarked. So I don't think all of them could be wrong. You know, the motor torpedo boat, one of them, the center one, was flying an Israeli flag. We know that for sure. So how did Johnson know? Well, the reason I think Johnson knew was because, as Deanna mentioned earlier, and not in these exact words, but the Johnson administration was almost thoroughly infested with Zionist Jews to a degree that I don't think any other administration has been, or may not be. I don't know. I hope not. And these Jews who were linked to Johnson the way that they were in his cabinet and his fundraisers, like Matilda Krim's husband, these Jews actually were whispering into his ear the information that they were getting from Israel. So that's how incestuous it was at the time, the relationship between the Johnson administration and Israel. Not that Johnson was as linked to Israel as these advisors were, even though Johnson was half Jewish on his mother's side, which many people don't know. But Johnson was told what was happening. Of course, Israel was the Israeli ambassador was shuttling back and forth in the months and weeks leading up to the conflagration, the preemptive strike that they committed. So Johnson knew that. Of course, it had to be Israel. He knew that this is what they wanted to do. As a matter of fact, they showed up many times in Washington to get the green light. Hey, look, can we do it now, LBJ? Can we do it? Can we? And he kept pushing them off. And like I said, it wasn't until the vice president of Egypt was set to meet with the Johnson administration that's when they ramped up the war a week earlier. I hope that answers your question.
Well, almost. Why would the Soviets thrust themselves in, well, for obvious reasons, but you're not aware that they had some secret pact with Israel? Granted, they're Bolsheviks and vice versa, but there's no definite reason you found yet that the Soviets stepped up to threaten that those planes would be taken down if they weren't called back. It kind of doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, I think the sense is that it was a very tenuous matter, and it could have developed into something very horrible if the Soviets thought that the United States was launching those planes to assist Israel. Then they could have, you know, launched missiles, and it could have blown up into something that they wouldn't have wanted it to blow up into. So I think that, you know, nowadays we can get information almost instantly, right, with texts and photographs and videos. The hotline wasn't even a phone. You know, it wasn't a phone that you could pick up and say, hey, there was no such thing as calling, you know, Moscow from Washington. It wasn't like that. You know, so now you could do that. Now you have a lot more options. I think back then you're pretty much a lot of what your decision making would be based upon would be in the dark. And so we are trying, I think, to analyze this from the contemporary standpoint, when if we, you know, looked at the communications systems that were in place at the time, they're like a joke now. What was on the Liberty is like a joke now compared to what we have, because they don't need Liberty ships anymore because they have satellites. You know, they still have spies on the ground, human intel. But I think that that probably is or contributes to a lot of, you know, people's misunderstanding about why wouldn't the Soviets just let the U.S. launch their jets to go to the aid of Liberty? Well, what if the U.S. is lying? What if the U.S. is saying that they're doing it, but they're going to do something else? What if the U.S. is going to fly over one of the Egyptian airfields with those jets and see the Soviet Tu-59 bombers that are there?
Okay. It makes much more sense now that the Soviets feared for their own safety, that America would get involved and it would turn into something bigger, and they probably took it upon themselves just to jump in the middle and say, whoa, 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 everybody back off, take to your corners. So it's very interesting how, why they would insert themselves into the whole matter. But that's pretty much it. Thank you.
Oh, sure, of course. And I think that, you know, the predominant response of most parties in any, you know, negotiation or anything like this is to minimize the risk. You know, there are a few people throughout history who choose to maximize the risk, but you want to minimize the risk. You don't want to take a chance that something's going to happen that's not going to turn out well for you or the other side.
It makes a lot more sense now that you mentioned that it, because America has been known to pull a few tricks, a lot of tricks, and if the Soviets didn't necessarily trust the Americans and their reason for launching those planes, then I can understand why they would want to jump in the middle of it. It just didn't make sense right off the bat. But thank you very much, and thanks for all your research. And I suppose it's safe to say biblically that all things will be revealed in those end days, and we're starting to learn. Thank you.
I think you're right. I think you're right, Greg. And thank you for the call and all of your thoughtful comments.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you. Now, Johnson promised continued support and help in reopening the Straits of Tiran, and that was previously closed to Israel by Egypt. Israel was already developing a nuclear program in the Negev Desert, but also wanted additional military assistance, including 100 Hawk missiles, 140 patent tanks, and 24 Skyhawk jets. John P. Roche, R-O-C-H-E, an avid supporter of Israel, wrote Johnson's speech regarding the Straits of Tiran, which he delivered in May 1967. Excuse me. Johnson had many Jewish advisors and friends, including Matilda Krim. And Matilda Krim's first husband, excuse me, was a Bulgarian Jew and member of the Ergun, a terrorist group. She converted to Judaism and associated with many of Israel's future leaders, as she was a dedicated gun-running member of Ergun, headed by Menachem Begin. And anyway, why don't we take another call?
Great, and you're right about that. That's exactly right. And when they closed the Straits of Tiran, which Israel used as the reason for their preemptive attack, which, you know, the result of it was not just military equipment being lost, but people getting blown to smithereens like they did on the Liberty. That only affected less than 3% of Israel's commercial shipping, so that was really not a reason to do it.
Right. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
All righty, we are back. This is Deanna. My guest today is Dave Ghari, and the websites of interest are erasingtheliberty.com. Excuse me. And USSLibertyMovie.com, and Israel attacked the USS Liberty on June 8th, 1967, 52 years ago today. Now, I mentioned Matilda Krim, and she was a terrorist with Israel's Irgun as early as 1948. She was also friendly with the Stern Gang, another Zionist terrorist group funded by Avraham Stern and headed by Yitzhak Shamir. In 1958, she married Arthur B. Krim, a New York attorney and head of United Artists and a close advisor to Johnson and an avid Zionist. Krim was the finance chairman for the Democratic National Committee and ran the President's Club, Johnson's fundraising apparatus that held a thousand-a-plate dinner in New York on June 3, 1967. Arthur Krim built a huge vacation mansion next door to Johnson's Texas Ranch. So you have to look at all of these. I mean, you had a spy, a terrorist spy, sleeping, literally sleeping with Johnson. Okay. Should we take another caller?
Yeah, I think we got a bunch of callers lined up. But you're right about that. It's crazy. It's nuts.
Right. Okay, let's take Chance in West Virginia. Chance, thanks for holding.
Yes, hello. I believe that quote about fooling people was attributed to Mark Twain, if I'm not mistaken.
It sounds like something he would say.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yes, Mr. Gahari, God bless you for the work you're doing. You know, you have that one quality that too many people nowadays seem to lack, and that's the righteous anger, enough is enough attitude. I could tell when you speak about this cause, and therefore I think you have a good chance of succeeding, because too many people think being polite and courteous and reasoning with their enemy is going to do them any good, and it's not. It never worked in history, and it never will. You know?
Thank you. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're 100% right.
It's time to take off the gloves. It's time to start being gentlemen to people who want to dominate you. They don't have your best interests at heart. It's becoming clearer each and every day. And they'll fight you every inch of the way. So that should be enough proof for people to say, hey, it's time to fight. I don't care what people say about me. This is my survival. And you have got that quality. And I God bless you for that.
Well, that means a lot to me to hear you say that, to hear anybody say it.
I'm not ashamed to say it, because I realize what we're up against, and you do too. And I'm tired. I'm not going to kowtow no more. As a matter of fact, I can't tolerate people who, these Casper milquetoasts, who it's like their survival doesn't mean anything. They think they're going to appease. Like I said, you'll never appease anybody, a person, a government, a group, who want to dominate you. It's not going to happen. They have an agenda. They're going to stick to it. And you have to fight. And once again, thank God for people like yourself. And I enjoy reading your work in the American Free Press also from time to time. I've been reading it for years. And I wish you the best of luck, sir. And with that, I'm going to say goodbye.
Well, thank you, Chance. I mean, what, Deanna, what could I say about that? I mean, that's...
You said it. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, that just makes me feel like, you know... makes me stronger, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that is why I'm doing this. And boy, somebody like that, I mean it really makes me not cry, but it makes me soft, you know, to hear that, because you don't know what type of an impact you're having really until, you know, you hear somebody say something like that.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yes, thank you, Chance. All right, let's take Sherry in Kansas. Sherry, welcome to the program.
Hello, Deanna. Hello, Dave.
Hi.
Dave, I've read your book, and I've read Joan Mellon's book, and she contends that there were some jets that took off from the Saratoga that were nuclear armed, and that they were 7 minutes from getting there when they were turned back. And to me, that makes more sense why the Russians would. But of course, she contends in her book that there was a, I believe she found something about a 303 committee that hadn't been disposed of.
You know, I can comment on that if you want, Sherry. That was one of the books that I was alluding to. You know, I don't want to be. Oh, I guess
hold
on the other side.
Right. Okay. Back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest is Dave Gahari, and we're talking with Sherry in Kansas. And I know Dave has interviewed lots and lots of survivors, and I suggest that perhaps the person that you're referring to, who wrote this other book, who has other ideas, may not have had the same resources or made the same contacts with survivors.
Yeah, but the problem is, and this is what happened, as a matter of fact, one of the people I interviewed who had never been interviewed before, other than his debriefing with the National Security Agency, because he was a civilian on board the Liberty. In that book, Blood in the Water, she talks about him and her interview with him. And when I spoke to him, he said she never interviewed me. And I actually met another survivor who said the same thing. And so besides the fact that she's outright lying in the book, and that's what I was saying. I really don't want to trash it, but I'm going to trash it because it's wrong. She has no evidence that 303 committee was something that was mentioned by Jim Ennis when his book came out in 1979, 1980. 303 committee had Liberty and, you know, handwritten in it, and that's what they put together, that that's what it was about. So the book is just a bunch of speculation that has no basis in fact, and its purpose is to, as I mentioned earlier, to assign guilt to the United States via LBJ versus to Israel. Joan Mellon is an American Jewish college professor, I think from Temple, and her book should not be taken seriously.
You said it much better than I did. Absolutely. Well,
I've been living with this stuff. I hope that answered your question.
You know, basically what I got from it, that she's saying that, and, you know, this isn't hard to believe when you find out, you know, what's come out in the Northwood documents and stuff, and Kennedy.
You're right. However, there's no factual evidence to bolster her speculation. So that's the problem. The problem is I could say anything, right? That's the problem. And yes, it's not hard to believe that the United States would do horrible things, which they have done and they continue to do. However, her book does a disservice to the truth about the USS Liberty.
Right. Sherry,
would you comment on what she had to say about McGonagall as far as him knowing something was going to happen?
Yeah, sure. No, I don't think he knew that anything was going to happen. In fact, he wasn't even allowed to go into the research spaces of the communications technicians because he was part of ship's company, and that angered him to no end. But no, he wasn't a cryptologist. He didn't have the authorization to do that. He was a skipper of the ship. He was a captain of the ship. He was a commander at the time. But there is evidence that McGonagall was compromised after the massacre. And what he did was according to one of the members of the crew members, he made a deal with the devil. He got his promotion from commander to captain. He got a new ship, and he also got the Medal of Honor.
Yeah.
Which many people refer to as a congressional
it's a payoff.
It's just a Medal of Honor. So he dishonored what happened as, you know, to a large degree, just as Joan Mellon is dishonoring what happened with her book, Blood in the Water.
Right. Okay, Sherry, we're going to move on to our next caller. Thank you.
Thanks, Sherry.
Okay, 30-06 in Ohio. I'm sorry I have not answered your email. But anyway, welcome, 30.
Good afternoon, Deanna. I have been listening here the last, since 6 o'clock, and I would have to disagree with the proposition put forth that the Soviets had intervened in the rescue of the Liberty. There would be no reason for them to do such a thing. They could monitor. They had surveillance in the area. They could easily tell if jets were flying past the Liberty and heading to Egypt. Then they could have acted. They had no reason to get excited about those jets going to rescue the Liberty. That is standard procedure for any military anywhere in the world. The Soviets would have done the same thing. Any other military would have done the same thing. Recalling rescue jets is not a routine military operation. You do not abandon your own people when they're under attack. Okay, I think it's somebody's putting out some disinformation diversionary tactics with that one, I do believe. As I say, they had enough surveillance. They would have known if those rescue ships had gone, those rescue jets had gone past the Liberty, because they would have had to pass over the Liberty to go to Egypt.
Dave,
your
response.
Again, hindsight is 20/20, but I'm basing what I say on people who are actually there at the time. So,
where would be the motive for the Soviets to intervene with that, though? If those jets could not rescue the Liberty, if the Liberty could not stay afloat, if it had gone down with all hands as intended, then those jets going to Cairo with the nukes on board would have nuked Cairo, and then the Soviets would have had to respond.
Thank you for,
so you're talking about a catastrophic situation.
You just reminded 30. Me of something that I'm sorry that I made the mistake of, because Sherry asked that question, so I'll answer it here. That the theory that there were planes heading toward Cairo to nuke Cairo, there's really no hard evidence that that's the case, even though Peter Hunam, writes about it.
Well, if that's the case, then why would the Soviets have been worried about it?
Well, that's what I was explaining earlier, that they didn't want it to escalate into something that they couldn't control.
It would have
they wanted to minimize the risk.
Would have went down.
If the Liberty went down, then would anybody know about the Liberty until later? No. So nobody would know about it. So what would be the purpose of sending the Liberty down to the bottom of the sea if nobody would know about it? So, no, it just doesn't make sense. And this is part of the mythology that people want to believe, that there were planes going to Cairo to drop nuclear. Why would they drop nuclear bombs on Cairo? Egypt wasn't a threat. We had, the State Department had relations with Cairo, just like they had relations with other countries. They weren't out of control. It's just that Nasser had to, you know, rattle his, you know, saber because he was being, you know, insulted that he wasn't as rough as he should be with Israel. That's why the Straits of Tehran was closed. That's why he made the, you know, agreements with other Arab countries to come to their defense and that they would come to his defense. So it the evidence just doesn't add up to point in the direction of such something as preposterous as the United States going rogue and dropping, a nuclear bomb or a few nuclear bombs on one of the largest cities in the world. It makes no sense.
Okay, thank you.
Well, they could not have gotten away with it.
Thanks, Terry. Okay, we do need to move on. Let's take Mark in Philly. Mark?
Great.
Do we have Mark?
Hello?
Yes, Mark, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Deanna, and thank you, Dave. And thank you, Dave, for all the great work you've done, the research you've done, and you sent me the two videos of the interviews, and I'm telling you, tears welled up as I was watching these interviews through the True News. To imagine that 5,000 50 cal rounds were shot into the ship, plus 800 shells. I mean, it is a miracle the ship didn't sink. And if it had, we wouldn't even know about this. So, and Deanna, last week I called in. Dave was on Rick Adams' show, so I called in. And right before I called in, it occurred to me that this is very similar to the Wizard of Oz. Okay, where little Toto pulls back the curtain, we see a little old man pulling the levers. But the modern day version of that is called the Wizards of Zion, and their evil cohorts that call themselves Jews and the Americans that would be traitorous to our nation and destroying our freedom and stealing our liberty. Okay, and by the way, I wanted to believe that Trump was doing the right thing when maybe he intended to do the right thing, but maybe when he got in, he figured he couldn't, and then he got talked to and told who was really in charge, I believe Kushner's running it. But by the way, I don't know if you'd heard that he's coming out with a new book, and it's co-written by Jared Kushner. His first book was The Art of the Deal, but this one's entitled The Art of the Steal. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and Kushner's father would know all about that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They own a lot of the property over there.
An absolute crook. And Jared Kushner's father was the one that actually got Trump into Manhattan to break through to the Jews, because his father told Trump's father told him that he'd never get into the real estate business in Manhattan because the Jews controlled it. Well, Jared Kushner's father got him in on that, and so from there on, so he's been beholden to the Jews, to Kushner's, since, you know, so he's his chief of staff. That's no surprise. It's all business. Art of the steal. And Israel has been working. They've infiltrated our government, infiltrated corporations, infiltrated the legal system, infiltrated the medical system, infiltrated the VA medical system, by the way, too, folks, and other veterans out there. They're taking us down. They're going to steal our liberty right from under us. Now, here's the thing.
They have.
This is critical to get this word out, because if they come out, I mean, there's bills right now they're pressing bills right now to shut us up. We can't say anything about Israel, anything, the truth, you know, or anything about Israel, critical of Israel, even with factual truth, which the USS Liberty is factual truth. And for me, it was the connect the dots moment, because when it was revealed to me, and by the way, Dave, a friend of mine had actually went and met Bryce Lockwood. I remembered his name, Bryce Lockwood, who lives in southern Missouri, one town over from where I grew up. And we played that. I don't know if Bryce Lockwood was originally from Missouri, but anyway, is Bryce Lockwood still with us?
Bryce Lockwood was one of the three Marines that were picked up in Rota, Spain, on the way to. And yes, I remembered when you called and I was going to say, I just didn't have enough time. That was Bryce Lockwood who did that. He was only on the Liberty for obviously a few days before the attack, but he's very prominent in interviews and stuff. I've met Bryce several times. He's a nice fella. But if you study it as much as I have, you'll see that parts of this particular story do not add up. And
I see.
That's, again, contributing to a lot of the misinformation about right. the Liberty Massacre.
Right.
Right. So I wanted to ask you. So the True News is going to create a documentary, and then there's going to be the production film to follow. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, so True News, which is what you're talking about here, that was a. If you go to, I guess, True News without the .com, I think it is. Then you can access their video there, or you can go to their YouTube page. They have two 1 hour and 20 minute videos. The first one is of Phil and myself, and then the next one is of the other three Liberty survivors that I helped coordinate to bring down there, and they told their story. Coming up the week of July 4th, there's going to be the entire week video that we shot at the National UDT Seal Museum in Fort Pierce, Florida. So yes, that's coming up. And then of course, what the other thing you're alluding to is the full-length feature film that we're working on now. We do have the first draft of the script done, and we're working on the next draft, which I think will be the final. The way that the book was designed was for the script. So we're about to, as I said on Rick's show, pound the pavement and press the flesh and get some people who want to get this story out, get them to open up their wallets and pull out right. the big bucks and get it done, not because they're going to make a return on it, because there is no return on it. We're not interested in money, and neither should they be interested in money. And if they are, then we're not going to talk to them. And really, the pitch will be very simple, that you know, you showed an interest in this story, you want to help get it funded. Are you interested? Do you want to do it? Yes. Great. Okay. Let's talk. No. Okay. Well, thanks for your time. Appreciate it. You know, have a nice day. So it's just a matter of meeting the right people and going through enough no's to get a yes.
Right. By the way, what's the figure we need to complete it?
It changes a lot. We're shooting for $500,000, and if you go to the website, you'll see that it says that it's, I think, something like 60% there already.
Okay.
But there are some people who say, geez, that's not enough because you want to, you know, have the proper battle sequences. Other people who say, well, you know, with CGI, you can do that, you know, computer-generated imagery.
Right.
I don't know for sure, but a lot of the times of the history of filmmaking, most of them go over budget for a variety of reasons. It's not a clean business where you say, well, here, I've got this much money, let's make this movie, and it ends up that it happens that way. So that's something that that's a bridge we're going to have to cross when we get there.
Right.
Right. So the documentary, the documentary that True News is coming out with could help be like a pre-promotion of that to get people on board to sponsor it, support it.
Yeah,
right?
You know, I think that is going to be more. We didn't really talk about the movie during that time. You know, I wanted this to be for the Liberty guys. The only real mention of it was in the first two that were released. So I know in the 15 hours of filming they did over those 2 days at the museum, I don't think I mentioned the movie. I might have mentioned it once or twice, but I don't really remember focusing on that. Okay. So I think that this is for the Liberty guys to get some recognition. This is a, you know, a pretty significant outlet, just like when I got Phil and I to speak at the Military Order of the Purple Hearts National Convention in Dallas in 2017. That was the most significant audience, mainstream audience, that the Liberty story was ever able to be told to. So, you know, it's becoming, you know, it's becoming, getting to the point where we can do that. We can talk about this stuff.
Okay.
Well,
thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Mark. Thank you, Mark.
Alrighty, we will be right back. And I just posted the links to those two movies. It's on the schedule page as well as in the chat room. Be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All righty, we are back, and our guest is Dave Gahary, and we didn't talk about the two-part Drew News thing. I'm sorry, I don't know how time just flew by. Anyway,
I told you I was rambling.
No, you weren't. Yeah. No, you weren't. And Mark R. Elsis sends his gratitude to you for what you're doing. He's also lives in Florida. Let's take one more really, really quick call. You weren't rambling. You did great. Let's take Ed in Utah. Ed, quickly.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, quick.
Yes, thank you very much, Deanna, and both of you. Dave, I'm a decades-long subscriber to American Free Press, and just to bring up this, to tie it in, Deanna, we're also, a week ago was the anniversary of the death of Michael Collins Piper from American Free Press.
Yes.
And in one of his many writings, as he tied all of this together, he talked about the Suez Canal crisis back in the 58, and how John F. Kennedy took the side, basically, of the Arabs, and that as then diplomat, Golda Meir referred to Johnson, Senator Johnson, as my little, our little Texas friend. And
wow.
So, so way back then, the mm-hmm. seeds were being planted and what have you. And so the Kennedy assassination, because the Kennedys understood so much, John F. Kennedy anyhow, and his father, so much about the Israeli lobby and what they were up to. That's why he basically threw his life down for us, I believe. And so 4 years later, they could do what they wanted. And they were, in my view, attempting to sink the Liberty and what have you. But, Dave, with all of this, could you, I know that it's short on time here, but about the sellout of Ennis and the fact that last week you mentioned to Rick Adams that he was airlifted. Could you elaborate on that?
Sure.
We have 1 minute.
Yeah, sure. He was hit early on, and so he really didn't take part in, obviously, any of the recovery. He was air evacuated off of the Liberty, and he wrote a book surreptitiously with, contacting the crew members and not letting them know that he was writing a book. In fact, some of them were very angry about what he has done. I found that within the Liberty organization, Liberty Veterans Organization, there are certain members who have done their best to keep this story from seeing the light of day. And like that other caller said, that's one of the reasons I'm sick and tired of it. And I'm not putting up with this crap anymore. And we're getting this story told.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thanks a lot, Deanna, for everything you guys are doing. Thank you.
Thanks, Ed. You want to try to take Lenny in California?
We've got just seconds. Maybe we could go into the next hour.
Really?
Oh, no.
Oh.
Lenny's gone.
There
okay.
You go.
Oh, bless your heart, Dave. You are just terrific, and you've just been shared so much of your knowledge today, and I thank you so very much for doing that. And you weren't rambling. We could go another hour. I know we could, because there's still we just didn't get it all in. But it wasn't because you were rambling.
I hope not. Yeah, no. You're right. You're right. There's just so many moving parts, Deanna. Thank you for having me on, and thank you for doing what you do all the time to educate people.
Well, thank you. Bless your heart. Take care. And my big hugs to you and your wife.
And I owe you a Reuben sandwich.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Okay. Bless you. I love you. Bye-bye.
Love you, too.
Okay. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you next week.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.